guys, welcome back. We're on episode 5, and I feel like I should let Geordie take the lead with the intro today.
Oh, boy. Right, yeah, it's been coming. I didn't want to do it straight away, but today the episode is The Magic Within Mickey Mouse. So obviously I'm very excited being Mickey's best pal.
Yep.
We're going to talk about a lot from earliest memories of Mickey, the significance of Mickey, kind of the cultural impact, because I feel like there's some stuff that goes unnoticed. I think everybody knows how much of an impactful character Mickey's been on culture, I would say. And society is maybe not the right word. Culture is probably the right word. But I think there's a couple of things that we'll bring up that maybe people don't realise.
Yeah.
And also, I think, especially for me, it definitely goes a bit deeper than a level of it being just a mouse. I think that he's a symbol of something a lot more. I kind of touched on it a little bit, but we're going to deep dive it because, you know, that's what we do on the Magic Within podcast.
The perfect episode for you.
I'm so excited. I'm so excited. But we are going to try and keep it down to like 45 minutes. Yeah. I know I said that for the Disney World episode, but I promise we are going to try and do it.
Yeah, we'll try our best.
Yeah, so without further ado, The Magic Within Mickey Mouse. Okay, right, so let's talk about it. First memories of Mickey Mouse.
Mm-hmm.
For me, obviously, if you've watched in the past, it was I had a Mickey Mouse teddy. He became a symbol of just kind of courage, I think, when I was a kid. Aww. Is probably the right word.
Yeah.
Not being scared of the dark and little things like that. And as I've grown older, He's become a lot more. But yeah, definitely the first memories. It was just, yeah, it was the teddy.
Yeah.
It was always the teddy. I've still got him here.
He's still here. He'll come slicker. Out every episode.
Here he is. Oh boy.
He's so cute. Look at his little floppy ears.
I am old. So yeah, that's it. We've done it before. I won't go too much into detail about my first memories, but it was that. What about you?
I was a princess girly when I was younger, so I'd say my first memories of really loving Mickey Mouse was when I met him when I was 19 at Disneyland Paris. I was like, oh my God, it's Mickey Mouse.
That first time meeting Mickey is unbelievable, isn't it?
It's just, he's brought to life and it's amazing.
He's got a big hug.
So I didn't appreciate him enough when I was younger, but now he's just the best.
You've seen the clip, haven't you? So the first time I met Mickey was in Hollywood Studios, MGM at the time. Again, I've spoke about this before. I'm just repeating myself on this podcast. But on the actual clip, you can hear my nana. Come give him a hug, George. It is so cute.
It is the cutest thing ever.
You could actually tell from the clip that, like, I'm nervous.
Yeah.
I'm very, like, when you see the rest of that Disney video, I'm the opposite of how I am in that second, because like I'm fully, you can just tell everything about me is tense. I'm very held in.
You were starstruck.
I was absolutely starstruck. That's like my hero has come to life, and I got to go and meet him. And like, how many other people get that? Because, and I know it's silly, but I mean, Alan Shearer was another hero of mine, and I've never got to meet him, you know what I mean? So, like, you have these heroes when you're growing up, these figures that you look up to. And the beauty of Mickey Mouse is that if you can have the means and are lucky enough to be able to get to one of the Disney parks, then you will get to meet Mickey. You'll get to meet the hero.
And he's always going to be there throughout your whole life.
Yeah.
He's timeless.
Beyond timeless. Coming on 100 now.
Oh, my God, that is crazy.
No, which I guess leads us a nice segue in to the origins of Mickey Mouse. Very interesting subject, if you ask me.
Yeah.
You know when it started.
1928.
Yes.
Yeah.
So 1928, he was the first cartoon ever with a voice. Steamboat Willie we're talking about, for those that don't know. Steamboat Willie came out in 1928, and it was very much a Disney had to throw everything at it. They had to take every kind of bit of money out of the bank. Walt sold his car, right?
Yeah.
Walt sold his car and he loved his car because he wanted to create the first ever sound synced cartoon. Because up until that point, it was all like silent pictures. So they had sound in them, but it was just musical overture. It wasn't synced to what you were watching. And Steamboat Willie was the first one to ever do that.
It's revolutionary, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's always been pushing the boundaries as Mickey Mouse. But yeah, so that was 1928. However, if we go a little bit further back, a tiny bit further back, 1927, and talk about Oswald the Rabbit for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Oswald the Lucky Rabbit, for those that don't know, was a character that was created by Walt Disney, and it was a guy called Charles Mintz, and he's very much the villain in this story, as you'll come to realise. He caught wind that Universal wanted a new cartoon character. Then he got in touch with Walt Disney. Walt Disney created Oswald, and a contract was made for, I think it was eight. I can't remember off the top of my head, but it was a good amount of money and it was a good amount of shorts. And it got Walt and his brother kind of on the map.
Yeah.
As the Walt Disney Company, Ub Iwerks, obviously a huge part of that as well. So that was successful. That was very successful. And then Charles Mintz played the villain, and Walt didn't actually realise that Walt didn't own the character. When he signed the contract, he signed it over to Universal, of all people. So all you out there that think that this Disney and Universal rivalry started because of parks or maybe film, it goes way back.
It's deep.
It goes way, way, way back. And I'm not actually saying that's necessarily Universal's fault, because it sounds very much like it was this middleman, Charles Mintz's fault, and he kind of hoodwinked Walt into it. And he gave Walt a kind of ultimatum of, like, you have to sign over your studio to them, or to me, or you don't have a job anymore, and we take Oswald. Yeah. It's very interesting that I find that we're like, the fact that it was Universal, Universal had Oswald after, obviously, Walt created it, and then Walt came back with Mickey Mouse.
I like that. So this is more about Walt than Mickey. However, it seems as like a running theme of Walt not understanding, like, what he puts a lot into stuff without thinking about it, because he believes so much that something's going to work.
Mm-hmm.
And then it always does pay off in the end.
So with Steamboat Willie, Walt had gone to New York to try and create, and paid a lot of money for this kind of recording studio, got a whole band in, and they couldn't get it to work. They just couldn't get it to work, no matter how hard they tried. But that was, they spent all the money on this session, and it was timing. Timing was the issue. They couldn't quite get it succinct in time with the video to make it sound realistic. Then Walt actually put a bouncing ball on the Steamboat Willie animation for them,
so they could
see it as a metronome, as a beat, and then the band could sync. Could, because then they were playing to the beat, they weren't playing to what they're seeing, because no matter how good you are, you can't, you're reacting to something, aren't you? Unless you get to a point where you know it off heart, and that they only had a day, so that was impossible. So Walt animated a bouncing ball onto it so they could all kind of, so the conductor could keep them all perfectly in sync.
That's crazy.
And the rest is history after that. He went on. You told me a very interesting fact that happened in 1932, which is only 4 years after Steamboat Willie came out.
I can't believe that it was only 4 years after.
Yeah, that's crazy.
He's the only pop culture / animated character to have received an Oscar, which is crazy. And that's only considering how successful he is now. The fact that he only got that 4 years after shows how the world went crazy.
That's like Bluey getting an Oscar.
Yeah.
Like now,
yeah,
innit? Like, yeah, I swear that crazy. Came out like 4 years ago or something. Ooh, it's like it's not very old, so that's literally like Bluey getting an Oscar or something that came out was super. It's like me getting an Oscar.
He went in 4 years without viral being a thing, worldwide,
but of course, why he was the first talking cartoon and he was voiced by Walt, which is even more magical. It makes it even better in my eyes. I absolutely love it. Not only also shout out, but we will do an episode on her as well. Minnie also was born on the same day. She was in Steamboat Willie too. So it wasn't just Mickey, but obviously this one is all about Mickey because I'm not Minnie's best pal. I'm Mickey's best pal.
Yeah, you are.
So, right, yeah, after 1928, when he was born, there's been, obviously, very iconic Mickeys. Sorcerer Mickey.
Yeah.
In Fantasia, which came, I want to say 1943, but I might be making that up off the top of my head.
Mm-hmm. There was also, before that, he was the first cartoon to be in colour with the band Mickey.
Oh, right, yeah.
Forgotten his name, but
no, I know what you mean.
Do you know which Mickey I mean?
Yeah, the marching band one.
Yeah, that was the first one to be in colour.
It's crazy.
Yeah, he's always there.
He's always been pushing everything throughout his.
I don't know if we've delved into this, but it was Walt who was voicing Mickey Mouse in the very beginning, which I think makes the fact that when you see, do you know that picture or that video when you see Mickey see Walt in the parks like back in the day. I feel like that's even more special. He was him. He didn't just make him, he voiced him.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny you should say that because I feel like I've heard people say that, like, Mickey Mouse was Walt Disney. Like, that's who he wanted to be always. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
that makes it even cuter.
Constantly optimistic, always have hope, always just like everything will be okay, let's just go for it, that kind of,
like, the best version of himself,
it's like a projection of him, of what he wanted himself to be almost, I guess, and wow, it's just amazing that he voiced it. But after that, he wasn't the only voice of it.
And
there's been four main voices, there have been others, so apologies if people don't shout at me for forgetting people, but I can't remember everyone. Like, people have done it in different countries and stuff, do you know what I mean? So, like, but Walt Disney, Jim McDonald took over after Walt passed away. Wayne Allwine, I think I'm pronouncing that right, then took over the role. This is the cutest thing in the world, by the way. Wayne Allwine was the voice of Mickey Mouse, and he was married to Russie Taylor, who was the voice of Minnie Mouse.
I love that.
How cute is that? That's Mickey amazing. And Minnie were married in real life.
Yeah.
Like, that's the most beautiful thing in the world. I love that so much.
That's adorable.
And then it's gone to, from Wayne Allwine, who hasn't got an easy name to say, now in the very, very capable hands, I must say, of Brett Ewan, Iwan. I don't know how do you pronounce that last name?
Ewan, Brett Ewan,
I don't know, but he does a cracking job. So Brett, if you ever see this, I'm a huge fan. I just don't necessarily know how to spell your last name, how to pronounce it. But yeah, so then after that, it's going to be me.
I was about to say that.
And then after me, I don't know.
Who could top that?
Who could top that, right? Some imagination, huh? That's why, though. I'm a dreamer, so I think, why not? Why couldn't I do it?
Manifest it.
Yeah, if I practice and practice and practice. Oh, that would be...
Imagine.
That would be the best job in the world.
That would be
magical. Imagine being able to just say you're Mickey Mouse. Like, what do you do for a living? I'm Mickey Mouse. That's the best thing ever.
Yeah.
I wish I could. I want to do that.
You've found a new goal now.
How many times? What do I need to say? Oh, boy. Oh, boy, please give me the job. Brett, if you ever fancy a day off, I should say it in the voice. Brett, if you ever fancy a day off, pal, you know where I am. That's it.
Jodie's audition tape.
Kind of hurts a little bit to do it because obviously this is my normal voice and it's right up there. So, yeah. Right. Okay. Talking about Mickey through the ages, from where he started as black and white Steamboat Willie to where he is now. Not going to talk about every version of Mickey. Would love to, by the way. I just don't think you guys have the time for that, which is more the issue. But yeah, classic Mickey. So I'm talking about ranging from kind of Steamboat Willie, past Steamboat Willie as well, to this version, the one that came into colour.
Another version on.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. But I think that was a little bit later on.
Yeah, it was.
Mischievous, that's very much what he was. Steamboat Willie, when you look back, he was always playing pranks. He was a little scamp, not a little bit like Stitch-like, do you know what I mean? He was always like up to no good, but in a nice way, let's say. Never nasty. After that, Mickey became such a figurehead of the company that they didn't want Mickey to ever be seen to get kind of really angry or to do something really stupid, because he was such an icon. He was an Oscar winner, like we mentioned before. Do you know what I mean?
He's a professional.
Yeah, he was a professional. So they didn't, he always kind of had to be the good guy, you know, the Captain America, essentially. Mm-hmm. So because of that, we got the birth of Donald Duck.
Yeah.
Who was there to be angry for Mickey. As we always know, Donald is so angry at everything.
So angry.
Always fuming, always angry. And then, if you guys can probably guess, to be the goofy sidekick.
Yeah.
It was Dippy Dog, which was what he was called at the time.
Was it?
Yeah, yeah. It was like the prototype name for him. Or like in the first ever comic. But yeah, he's Goofy.
Yeah.
Who came and into the scene to be goofy, to be literally slapstick, you know, that things falling on him, things tripping him up, and that comedic side. So then all of a sudden you had this trifecta, if you will, of Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse, of course. But they were very much always a romantic connection. And then you've got this kind of layered team of people that, you can have Donald be the angry one. You can have Goofy be the funny one, but Mickey always remained. There was almost like a rule book. So yeah, that's just a little bit of info that you guys might not know.
Yeah.
But then from classic Mickey, it went on to
Fantasia Mickey.
Yeah, Sorcerer Mickey, as he's called.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Sorcerer Mickey.
Yeah, that's it. That's the name, I think.
Yeah.
Of,
this is where we get a lot more magic, a lot more magical things happening with Mickey Mouse. And I feel like without that, if he didn't transition into this like magical character, imagine how different the parks would be as well.
Yeah, there was something as well, I'm sure, that with Mickey, Walt had neglected Mickey a little bit. From that time, from Steamboat Willie onwards, he was almost so much of like a just printing money that he was so focused on things like Snow White and these feature films that Mickey was just there and constantly turning over money and doing well. But it did get to a point where I think Walt, even himself, feared that people liked Donald more, people liked Goofy more. And he realised that Mickey had never kind of been given that moment, been given that time on the big screen.
He's
there at the start because he's in the shorts and stuff, but never that moment. However, Fantasia very much gave him that moment.
Yeah, so it definitely worked, didn't it?
Some people may say too much because he was literally on like conducting the universe at one point, wasn't he?
Iconic. We rewatched it like a couple months ago because I've not watched it in years, and it's quite intense, isn't it?
But
especially with the whole orchestra and everything.
It was very much Fantasia in itself, not just kind of because people think Fantasia is just that Sorcerer's Apprentice story. It's not. There's so much more to Fantasia, and it was very much a showing where they were with animation and showing off, I guess. If you can't think of a better word, go and look how good we are in terms of syncing sound with the film. There we go. Yeah, syncing sound with the film and showing the progress that they'd made and what they were capable of. So, but definitely Sorcerer's Apprentice is the most iconic piece of that.
Yeah.
It's the most iconic piece of music.
He's one of the, if you think about like the top four versions of Mickey, he's definitely up there, if not, well, maybe not the top, but he's pretty close.
Yeah.
You did a poll as well, didn't you?
I did do a poll.
Yeah, which we can talk about later.
No, I don't know where it is. But I can tell you that Sorcerer Mickey and Classic Mickey were kind of very, like not Steamboat Willie, I'm talking iconic Mickey, I'm talking red shorts, gold, the one I grew up with.
Yeah.
The one I grew up with, I always call him 90s Mickey because the time period where I think of, and it was...
He's the one that's ingrained in our brains.
Yeah, it's the most iconic version of him. The animation isn't this where he's got the button eyes. It's a bit more like that.
Yeah.
A bit more like that, but obviously he's not in his iconic gear.
No.
This one, the one of the teddy.
Well, yeah, but, it is your teddy, isn't it? It's just hard to tell because he's a bit bad now.
Yeah, a little bit bad. He's the one that rings to mind, but it's so funny because this is what I've actually realised. I've never met that Mickey.
No.
He's never in shorts.
Yeah.
In the parks. He'll be in red, trousers.
Yeah.
But you never really see him in the red shorts, you know?
Oh, I'd love to meet him in that outfit.
Yeah.
He'd look just like a giant teddy.
I think it's because of the legs, isn't it?
Oh, legs. And I guess he's not got a top on, has he?
No, no.
So...
Yeah, you can't have that. He looks like this in the park.
Technically, he's not got a top on.
Isn't it?
Oh, he's so cute.
With his little gold. Look, that's like Epcot. Yeah, we met him there.
Yeah, amazing.
So, yeah, that's another version of Mickey. But a little one that we're going to talk about, because I think that's the most iconic version and probably the one that anyone grew up around our age thinks of. That's almost like Clubhouse level, nearly, but like that was 3D and a little bit weird for me. Wasn't a huge fan of that. But moving on to the new version of Mickey Mouse, the shorts version, the one that is on the Runaway Railway, very much a divisive version of Mickey Mouse, mm-hmm. I think, in a sense that it's, you kind of love him or you hate him, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm here to say, I don't think people... give him a chance.
I don't think they do. I think they hold too much like nostalgia for the other ones, which is fair enough.
I did it.
Yeah.
I will hold my hands up, right? Yeah. I thought exactly the same. Wasn't a massive fan of the new design. But watch those shorts, guys. Like, go and watch them. It's so funny.
Yeah.
So silly. And everything I said prior about that rule book about Mickey, he can't be stupid, he can't be angry, he can't be silly, he can't do this, he can't do that. That rule book literally has been thrown out the window for these shorts and this new version of Mickey. He's one of the funniest, one of the most chaotic.
Yeah.
He's hilarious. Like, it's almost like Michael Scott. Like, he just gets himself in and he's pickles and it's like his reactions are always so funny.
Speaking about how Minnie was originally like this damsel in distress, I liked the one we watched where it's in one of the new shorts where he's like, Minnie! And wants her help and she's like, right! And comes and helps him. Yeah. I loved that.
That was like on Disney Plus. It was like a how not to draw something.
Yes,
and they were like,
it was.
It was like an animation and they were drawing it in pencil and then like Mickey would start talking and they drew a flower. Mickey pulled the flower and Minnie came out because he was getting chased by a shark. And he was like, Minnie! And she was like,
it was amazing.
It was so fun. It was
great. Girl power for Minnie.
But that's another, these are the things like, and also I love the Runaway Railway. Mm. So that as well. One thing that we're just going to touch on ever so briefly, I think that the Mickey in the Parks is a different Mickey to all the ones we've spoke about. Yeah, he might be in the separate gear, but he looks different. That version of Mickey that you meet in the parks, that head and that kind of iconic look that you see on all the Disneyland adverts, that you see on all the Disney World adverts, I think it's a different character. It holds a different life of itself almost.
It's like the park Mickey, isn't it? Like, it's his own thing.
It's like that's real Mickey. In a way, it's like that's what he actually looks like. It's like all the cartoons are based on this. Like, he's the real guy.
He's the famous guy.
Especially when you meet him in Paris, and it's like you're going into his dressing room.
Yeah.
And when I first met him in Hollywood Studios.
That's when I fell in love with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like I'd gone to his trailer. Yeah. It was like he was on a break. He was filming stuff.
Incredible.
And like, it's so good. So... there's all these different versions of Mickey and there's ones that we've not even touched on. But like one of my favorite Mickeys, and this is just a random shout out, is Mickey's Once Upon a Christmas. That version, I guess that's the 90s version of Mickey that I'm talking about.
Yeah.
For those that have seen it. Obviously he's not wearing his iconic gear, but that is such a beautiful thing. Christmas is coming up, guys. Whether you like it or not, it's coming up. And put that on your list to watch.
You have to
if you've
watch
not
it.
Watched it, just watch the episode. I mean, the one with Goofy is amazing as well. And the one with Huey, Dewey and Louie.
Yeah.
And
they all make really me cry good, is the best way.
The Mickey and Minnie one is beautiful. And if you've got kids, I remember watching that little short with Mickey and Minnie with the watch and the harmonica as a kid. And like a penny dropped for me as a 6-year-old.
Yeah.
And I think, oh my God, it's not about the presents I get. Yeah. It's about the people and it's about sharing. And So if anyone else wants to drop an absolute kind of truth bomb on the kids this Christmas, have them watch that. Because the Goofy one as well, that hits home. Especially now as an adult. Like, I'm not a dad, but like I love Goofy.
If you had kids, oh God, you'd be in bits, I think.
Yeah. So I think I don't know if we can talk about anymore, because otherwise I could. If anybody wants to, just like DM me and we can just talk about every single Mickey cartoon short just ever, and I'll love it. So yeah, but for now we are probably going to move on to the next subject. We're going to talk about the themes and the legacy of Mickey Mouse, because some of the themes I think and what he does for me, I just think it's very important. People need that, and people find that in very different things throughout life. But I mentioned it very much in the first episode. I probably haven't touched on it since, but he is a symbol of hope for me. It might be silly to many people, and I completely understand that. Some people find hope in things that I find silly, and that's fine. Everyone's different. But especially because I've had that connection since I was a baby.
Yeah, you're so young.
The reminder of to never grow up too much. That, and it just brings me back to being a kid, and we sometimes lose that. The quote from Fantasmic, this is my dream, helped stop me having nightmares. Even now, some imagination, huh? Like, that is just me summed up in a way, because like when I talk to my friends, like they just like, honestly, they must think that like this guy's imagination is mental. Like, I don't know what cloud he's living on, but he is optimism. That's why I've got him everywhere dotted all over my house, because like genuinely I'll be working and I might be having a stressful day and I'll just look to the left and I'll see Mickey Mouse old school telephone, and like it just puts a smile on my face, because like I either think about easier times, simpler times when I was a kid. I think about when me and you have been to Disneyland Paris and got engaged. I think about going to hug him for the first time and having my nana there, and thinking about my nana, it always makes me think about my nana.
So many layers to your love for Mickey Mouse. It's crazy.
So much.
Beautiful.
Yeah, and it's, and I know that's just, I'm just one guy. And I know I say Mickey's best pal, I have it on my Instagram and stuff. I just like the name. Everyone's his best pal. I'm under no, like, illusion of that. Everybody, and that's the beauty of it. It's Pluto, isn't it? Pluto's his best friend, really. Yeah, I'll take second to Pluto. I will take second only to Pluto. Goofy and Donald can get out.
Yeah, it has to be Pluto. It has to be his boy.
Let me in. I feel like I've got things to offer. Well, I could look like Walt one day.
Yeah, I feel like when you get older, you potentially will look like Walt.
There's potential there.
You should dress in the suit when we go to the parks. And I think Mickey will run up to you.
Yeah, exactly.
It would make me cry.
Oh, God, I'd cry as well.
Imagine if you did that. Like,
to all who come to this happy
imagine
place.
Imagine how emotional you'd be.
Welcome. Disneyland is your land.
So cute.
But yeah, that I got a bit sidetracked and I got so excited.
Well, you're talking about Mickey's best pal, but what about Mickey's other pals?
Screw those guys. I've changed my mind. Screw all of you. Screw Donald and Goofy. I'm his best pal. Pluto gets a pass. And Minnie. But no, I'm joking. Yeah, I went silly again. His friendship with all of them. I just think it's important. Friendship's important. And like before Ross and Rachel and Monica and Joey and Chandler, and before Cheers, you know, before all of these iconic groups of friends, there was the Fab Five.
Mm.
I think it should be six, because I think it's a joke that Pluto isn't considered in that, by the way. But, like, Fab Six doesn't sound the same. I get it. Donald... Try again. Donald, Daisy, Goofy, Mickey, and Minnie.
And also Clarabelle.
No, she's not in...
She pops up every now and then.
Yeah, but she's not... Not really in the five. No. The five that are on my jumper that I'm not wearing.
Yeah.
They're the Fab Five. And that's the beauty of it. Donald's a nightmare. Donald is an absolute nightmare. Like, he gets so stressed out, but like, they love him still.
Yeah.
And I just think, like, just them, you know, them little things, like Goofy's always, he messes things up for them, but they still love him. Yeah. And like, I just think that's important.
Yeah, that's such a good lesson.
As for someone that has gone through life messing things up.
We have very much Goofy energy.
It's good to know that your friends and your family will still love you, even though you mess some things up, and like, if you're clumsy and you knock things over, because I haven't done that. And like I said, you know, I'm not going to go over it again, but Donald, people get angry. It's not the end of the world. The people that love you will love you in spite of those things. And I just think that's a really nice message, and you will never see that group of five friends fall out.
No.
Like, you'll never, it's not even going to be in the newspaper, like, oh, Mickey's just dropped a diss track on Donald. Like, that, you know what I mean? That's not the world that they live in. They're always going to be friends. I just love that. I love that.
It's good. I like that with Mickey Mouse, he kind of transcends time, but he's also kind of progressing way quicker than any other kind of cartoon. So he's constantly, especially because of the way Walt was, he's constantly thinking out of the box, and like, it's just, he's beyond.
Pushing boundaries.
Yeah, pushing boundaries, beyond his time. And we saw a clip recently of the new...
Is it D23?
Was it D23? Is he AI? Was it AI?
No, I don't think it was AI, was it?
It's like this screen where you go up and you talk to Mickey, and it's obviously this like computer CGI character, and he talks back to you.
It's like motion cap, isn't it? It is. It's like Crush. It's like Crush. It's like Turtle Talk and that kind of thing. Oh, yeah, and Monsters Inc. and that stuff. Again, like.
It's bringing another level to it.
It's Disney that obviously innovating that.
Yeah.
But going to meet Mickey, like to interview him. What
to have him talk to you,
like, and the thing is as well, this is how I don't think it was AI, unless they might have been using an AI voice thing.
Yeah,
but the Mickey would say things to the Instagrammer or to the person, to the influencer that was relevant. Yeah. For example, like if I walked up, he would be like, "Oh, look, it's my best pal." Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, and he would say that, by the way. He would be like, "Oh, well, look who it is. It isn't my best pal. How are you?"
My God, I want that to happen.
One day. And there has been talking Mickey at parks as well, by the way. True. You talk about that for a second.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I've never met him. Somebody has, though. One of my nice listeners. One of the people.
Oh, my God. Jealous.
So I put on my Instagram story, what was the most kind of magical moments you've had with Mickey? We'll talk about this. Someone's answer, and I'll leave him anonymous. They said that their most magical moment was Mickey kissed them. And I'm like, whoa. Tell Minnie about that.
All right.
That's why I'm leaving you anonymous. Can't tell Minnie about that, you know what I mean? Shame on you. No, I'm joking. Yeah, that's cute. One of the other ones was seeing the mum's face when they met talking Mickey.
Oh, God.
And I love that.
That is amazing.
Absolutely love that.
Yeah.
Because it was the first time I think they'd been to Disneyland. And that's just some of the most beautiful stories. So I will keep putting this on my story to try and get your stories, because everyone's got different beautiful stories, and I want to hear them, I want to talk about them, I want to ask you about them.
This side note, do you remember that video that we saw a couple months ago of a guy was filming, and he was like, I think this old person doesn't know where they're going, and they're on his little wheelie chair thing. Was like, I'm looking for the main street. And they're like, oh, it's just through there. And he followed her and filmed it, because he was like, I've got to see this reaction. And oh, my God, the reaction of her seeing it. And she'd wanted to come her whole life. And that was her first time seeing it at like 90 or 80 something.
Yeah, while we're on that, Also, the other thing that went viral, same vibe, was the lady who went and met the Wakanda tribe.
Oh my God, yeah.
If you've not seen that, it's just...
Like, it just shows that at any age...
You can go to Disney and it's like a flick.
It's amazing.
A switch flicks. A flick switches. A flickety switch. Flickety flick. There's a switch flicks in your head and you just go from being, well, me, 30 years old when we last went. Yeah. I mean, we were in very much euphoria. We
just got married.
I didn't have any stresses to stress about. But, you know what I mean? As soon as you walk through them doors, everything goes and something can just give you this core memory. You walk around the corner and bang, core memory. And then you walk around another corner, bang, core memory.
Like, I think a massive part of it is it's really therapeutic and it just heals your inner child. But that's why it's so hard when you come back, especially
dopamine withdrawals.
You can't see Mickey Mouse every day if you want to. That's an issue.
Yeah, you should always be able to see Mickey
Mouse. There should be one in every town, every village.
Mm. I see, and
everywhere.
And how you're all thinking, how have you got here? We were supposed to be talking about Mickey, now you're just talking about the theme park, but it all started with a mouse. It's always relevant. If you're talking about anything Disney, it's relevant to Mickey. Bear that in mind. Now, we're going to talk about the cultural impact of Mickey Mouse. Mortimer nearly was called Mortimer Mouse. Thank you very much, Lillian, Walt's wife, because Mortimer, I don't think, would have. Done what Mickey did.
The world would have been a different place if he was Mortimer Mouse.
Absolutely, the world would have been a different place. And that is exactly nice. We're going to talk about the impact on culture. Because absolutely biased, we'll hold my hands up. I don't think there's a more iconic symbol, character. He's more than a character now. He is a symbol, like the ears. The ears transcend languages, I know there's that joke, isn't there, that if aliens found Earth, they'd be like, they all seem to worship a mouse. Yeah. He's the symbol of the ears is that iconic.
Mm.
That's one of the things that, and especially me, because a little tidbit about my personal life, I work in marketing and events, but particularly the marketing side. McDonald's sign is maybe the only one that's kind of on parallel, but I think Mickey's above where you doesn't matter where you are in the world. I could go to China. Well, obviously they, I won't even say China because they've got a Disneyland, so it's probably cheating. If I go, I don't know, Vietnam, you know, they wouldn't understand a word I said. I don't speak the native language. There's many, but if I showed them this and you went and pointed, they'd say Mickey Mouse. He is a universal language that is known worldwide.
Yeah.
That is, if that isn't cultural impact, I don't know what is. But it also goes back further. There was no kind of merchandise in terms of advertising, even on things like cereal boxes. You know, prior to Disney kind of having this idea to advertise in any way, shape and form that they could. And obviously Mickey was a huge part of that. It became that cereal boxes went from boring brown boxes with cornflakes written on it to what we know today with the Rice Krispie gang and stuff like that. And the merchandising, lunch boxes is another huge one. He's just one of the biggest, if not the biggest, pop culture icon of the past century. And he's an animated mouse. Mickey's more iconic than Walt at this point, I think, which is mental. I'm not saying I agree with it, because obviously Walt, there wouldn't be no Mickey without Walt, but I think there's more chance of you showing somebody a photo of Walt Disney and them not knowing who he is than showing a Mickey, a photo of Mickey Mouse, and then they're going, I don't know who that is, what's that? I think
every
imagine.
Kid in the world is going to be like, Mickey Mouse!
If I've got anything to do with it, every kid. all my best friends' kids and nieces and nephews.
Anything you can buy, it's Mickey Mouse related.
Yeah, them right. Birthdays, you want a present? Yeah, you're getting a Disney one.
Our niece used to call you, she'd look at a Mickey Mouse teddy and say Geordie before she realised Geordie was not Mickey Mouse.
That's how you know you've made it, folks. And also our nephew, shout out Billy, shout out Foggy, shout out Primrose, shout out all three of you. We love you loads. But yeah, Billy used to call me Actor Man as well. So.
Oh, yeah.
But then it's sad because they all realise that you're not these things. You know? Billy realised that I was not an actor. Primrose realised that I am not, in fact, Mickey Mouse. So you go through that. You go through that when you're an uncle. It's tough times. Of course, what I think is beautiful and amazing, most things, but one thing I want to touch on now is that it's all ages will love Mickey. You could find a 95-year-old person that absolutely loves Mickey Mouse, and you could find a 95-day-old person that absolutely loves Mickey Mouse. Yeah. It goes from me, who had a Mickey Mouse from the moment I was born, loved him from birth.
Our dog loves her Mickey Mouse teddy. Yeah. That may have been forced upon her, but it is now grown into real love.
Definitely is. Yeah, no, yeah, 100%. I love that. I love that it's something knows no age, knows no race, no nothing. None of that matters. Like, yeah, people can just bond over Mickey Mouse. Like, and I feel like that's why I love the parks as well so much, because I feel like a lot of people, there's some grumpy buggers there, don't get me wrong, like, oh, I don't want to be here, oh, bloody wife drugged me here, oh, I'm just here for my kids. Just go then, like, they're not going to miss you. Like,
having way too much fun anyway.
Yeah, they're having fun, so, like, either be honest about the fact that you're having the time of your life, or just doors there. We haven't really done our rant. I didn't think we were going to get one on a Mickey Mouse episode.
Do a rant per episode.
But there we go. We got one. That's what people pay to see.
So Mickey's basically been relevant since the dawn of Mickey Mouse, and over the years he just always keeps, they've never stopped, have they? So every time, like, maybe they brought out other characters, there's always something else where they still bring out Mickey Mouse merch, Mickey Mouse like TV shorts, and I guess recently, or most recently in the parks, is the ride. Which is the best ride in the world.
I love it, mate.
Runaway Railway.
I think it's stop us now.
And he's obviously got the new animation, so they're constantly... I know, it goes round and round in your head, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. I think they knew that. I think they probably knew that. They knew exactly what they were doing. It's almost a TikTok sound now. Like,
yeah.
Clever.
It's so good.
Very clever.
But yes, there's always new stuff coming out. And although the whole decades thing as well, I feel like... On the Disney Store, was it last year?
It was for the 100-year one of the animation studios.
Yeah, you can see every 10 years they did bring out pretty much something that had Mickey Mouse on it, even though there's loads of other stuff going on.
Yeah.
It's just always there.
And I think now, I don't think they need to.
No.
I think they've almost gone into this thing of, like, obviously there is the shorts and... which are great, and I absolutely love them. Yeah. But I almost think it's the parks, you're going to meet Mickey Mouse. Yeah. I feel like that is what, that's what they lean on now with Mickey more than anything. Mm. That he,
like, there's no movie.
He features like on the cruise lines when he does the zip line to start the fireworks show, or like, you know, like, I just feel like the parks are where they really focus a lot of the attention on Mickey Mouse rather than a film. I can't see us getting a Mickey Mouse film again for a while. Like, I've said, I want a live action Fantasmic.
Yeah.
I don't know what a live action Mickey Mouse would look like. Mm. Is that the next step? That'll piss people off. Oh, I'll have to beep that out.
Oh.
That will annoy people. That a live action, you know what people are like with the live action stuff. So.
I don't think you could do a live action.
Yeah, make him look like a teddy.
Oh.
Like,
oh my god, yeah,
like Christopher Robin, like that Winnie the Pooh, make him look like a teddy. Like,
I
that.
Want it, That'd be amazing.
Yeah, but then it kind of breaks the illusion that, like, I guess because he was never, he's not supposed to be a teddy.
Yeah, true.
He's supposed to be make a real thing, and then
and they made a teddy.
They made make a teddy out of him to sell stuff. But like on Hercules.
Yeah, even if there wasn't anything like that, you're right. He would just go into the parks that'll carry him through, because you go and you just have to meet Mickey, don't you?
He's at a point now, I think, where like it's just. Yeah. We're far above anything, and like nothing can ever bring him down. I think like
he'll nothing can stop
him. No, he'll always be the figurehead of the Walt Disney Company, yeah. And like the ears. Do you know what I mean? Like yeah. It's just it's on a different level to pretty much anything else.
Yeah.
So in terms of staying relevant, I agree, and it's very interesting when you look back throughout time at how they managed to do it.
Yeah,
but I. Think now, he'll just be relevant forever.
Yeah.
I can't imagine a world where Mickey Mouse isn't.
If you make irrelevant. It past 100 years of being.
That's going to be huge, though.
It's never
in 4 years' time, I don't know what they've got planned for that. Yeah, they'll already be thinking about it 100%. Like they'll be thinking about the 100th year anniversary of Mickey Mouse and Steamboat Willie already.
I really want to go then.
Oh, we will.
100%. We have to.
Be living there then.
Live just outside.
Yeah. Fingers crossed. I would quite like to go to California for that.
Yeah.
Go back to
the original.
Obviously where it was made. Because it's like 100 years ago. Damn. Steamboat Willie was made here. Like in California.
So meeting Mickey
beautiful.
In Anaheim will be the most emotional thing ever. It'll be incredible. Cried the thought.
I nearly cried saying bye, didn't I?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, yeah.
That was tough.
The cast members, the photographer and the character attendant were like, oh my God, he's crying. Because they were just like, thought you were so cute.
It was tough. He said bye. I don't want to say bye. Imagine living like 9 hours on a flight away from your best friend. Obviously, I'm my best friend.
Yeah, sure.
And the dog,
sure.
The best friend. But he's my best pal. Sorry. <Yeah. laughs> Different.
There's a difference.
It's a different word. Come on.
So, talking about Mickey in the parks, we've already discussed it a little bit.
Yeah.
He is everywhere.
Every park.
There are so many meet and greets. Which ones was your favourite? And tell us a little bit about them, Jordy.
Oh, the favourite ones that I've done.
Yeah.
Right. If we talk about Disney World, right. So, there's one in every park. And this was when I went. However, Epcot now is in his kind of iconic looking gear. Like,
yeah.
So the red pants, the black jacket. And so Communicore Hall was actually a new meet and greet. Wasn't there when we were there. That's how you meet that one. If you want to be, I want to say magician. It's Magician Mickey at Magic Kingdom. Nice little meet and greet in the Town Square Hall Theatre. You go backstage. Little Easter egg. If you look on top of the wardrobe. You see that old hat that he got himself in a spot of bother with.
Looks so good.
And speaking of that hat, if you want to meet Sorcerer Mickey, this is one people have actually. Oh, my hair's all over the spot. Oh, this is one that people have actually asked me about a fair bit on TikTok to meet Sorcerer Mickey in Hollywood Studios. It's an actual attraction, so that's where you meet him. And in Animal Kingdom, he's got like his little explorer stuff on. It's the best.
It's so cute.
It's probably not the best. I don't know which is my favorite.
It's cute.
I really like Paris too.
Yes.
That's in a theater.
Yeah.
But I think my favorite was the first ever.
Yeah.
I loved meeting him. By the trailer. It was so cool.
Yeah.
It was so cool. And that whole... I remember being nervous, like I said earlier.
Mm.
So, yeah, that's probably my favourite. But, yeah, as he should be, he's everywhere. Character dining, you get great interactions. I had an argument with him about who loves who more.
So good.
That was a good bit of fun.
We should pop that.
I think... Yeah. Who won that? Yeah. He won.
You let him win.
Yeah, I let him win. But, like, it could have escalated. We were squaring up, like...
It was intense.
It was intense. But, no, yeah, I let him win. Well, you win that round. What's your favourite meet and greet?
I think my favourite one was the first one that we saw at Epcot, so in his classic suit. He was with Walt, but I never noticed. He had sparkles on him.
No,
he was so sparkly. Yeah. I was, like, seeing that in person, because he was the first one. I'm like, oh my God, he's sparkling. He's right behind the Epcot ball. He's with Walt. It was just ticking a lot.
Let me tell you something, you know. He was sparkling.
He was.
And it might be that Fantasmic outfit.
Yeah.
When he's waving his arms. Because he's wearing a sparkly tux then, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's not wearing the Sorcerer Mickey stuff at the start of Fantasmic.
Magical. Yeah.
Fantasmic. While we're talking about the parks. He deserves that show. That's why it got brought in again. It was a moment of like, we need to put Mickey at the forefront. Fantasia, fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantasmic. That's how the name came about. And
it's incredible.
Oh, I cannot stress how great it is. It's, do you know why also it's great? So this is something that I've probably not touched on. It's great because obviously it's Mickey. Mickey's very much the hero. He goes through it. He oh, what's he like? You know, he gets himself in that bloody pickle again. But what I love about it is the amount of villains you get to see.
Yeah, so many characters.
Just, obviously, the boat at the end is just beautiful, like waving at it. And, you know what it's like. Shout out the Mexican wave guy as well.
Every time we saw it, he was...
Yeah, yeah, 100%. Shout out that guy. So, yeah, I love Fantasmic.
Yeah.
That's my favourite Mickey thing in the parks, I think. Yeah. And I would love to see them make some kind of movie out of it. I think it deserves it. I think you can... I think it prints money, personally, yeah. But... what's he called? What's Bob Iger? You know where I am, mate. You know where I am. Let me pitch you an idea.
What I love about Fantasmic, just quickly, is that when you're sat waiting, first of all, you get the old school Disney remix tunes.
Yeah.
Epic.
I want to be where the people are.
So good. But I just feel like there's so much, there's the energy when you're sat waiting because everyone is so excited, and the scream when the music starts, like, it's like you're watching, like, I don't know, Beyonce or something. It's Mickey Mouse! It's so good!
Tell you what not
he to, is your Beyonce.
I tell you what not to do, though. Don't try and save people's seats, don't do guys. That. Like that. It's not necessarily going to work. It's going to be hard. Like, you get people that rock up an hour before Fantasmic on to get good seats.
Yeah.
Don't rock up on your own and say, I'm saving it for five people. No. Not only because, like, not cool, but happened to a woman in front of us and she eventually had to watch Fantasmic on her own.
Yeah.
Because guess what? The group ended up sitting together somewhere at the back and couldn't be bothered going to find her.
Yeah.
And she was like stood on the bench and like, sit down, Karen. Yeah.
And it was
like,
really hot.
Yeah.
I wasn't ready for that.
Yeah, I was eating a pretzel though. It was good times. Yeah. We've got a great Fantasmic shirt. Not wearing it. Wearing this one today. Don't know why I did that. I get excited when I talk about Mickey Mouse. Yeah. Really exciting.
I know. So another Mickey, which I think is awesome, which we've not seen, is the one in Anaheim in Toontown. So we weren't lucky enough to see Toontown. Toontown, when we went to Walt Disney, because obviously it's not there.
I've seen one.
But his outfit there, I think it's so cool. That is cool Mickey in my head. He's in like a hoodie. He's got like...
After work, innit?
Yeah.
He's just like, oh, he's got all... Pluto's run up to him.
He's in his
like,
comfy.
Yeah, he's like, let me take me tux off and just, do you want to go on a walk?
I know. And he goes and finds Minnie and goes for a date at night. And I just think, I need to see that. I just think it's the cutest thing ever. It makes it even more real.
I wish they had Pluto, by the way. They should totally take Pluto for a walk.
Why does Pluto not go with them?
I've seen Toontown, by the way. I've seen Toontown.
Toontown.
I saw Mickey and Minnie's house when I in the year 2000.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very blurry memories.
Yeah.
But I do remember it. I do remember it. Yeah, it was cool. It was just a little walk around attraction where the circus bit is now in Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, which is cool. But
yeah, not as cool as them houses, though. Yeah, well cooler.
I do have Toontown on Dreamlight Valley. So I do walk around it. And that is my only way.
Do you know what we should mention?
Going to Dreamlight Valley. I mean, Toontown.
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 Do you know what we should mention? This deserves a mention. This is Mickey-shaped food.
Oh, yeah!
Just Mickey-shaped food. Like,
it tastes better because it's in the shape of his head.
It does. how many other characters in the world is like you can charge $2 for a pretzel, $3, maybe people will pay it.
Yeah.
If you make it Mickey shaped, you can charge $8, maybe $9, and people will pay it. I'm one of them suckers, and I would do it every day. If there was a shop at the end of my street that sold Mickey flavored shaped, Mickey flavored, I don't know. I don't know what mouth tastes like. If there was somewhere, a bakery that just specialised in Mickey-shaped things, honestly, I would be number one customer because I don't know why it tastes better. Don't know, but it does. Pizzas are great.
It tastes like happiness.
We've had a bash, haven't we? We've got the cookie cutters.
Oh, so yeah, like, we do all sorts.
Any option, any chance we get. We've got cake tins. We make Mickey brownies.
Mickey pie.
I don't know. We've had to list a load of things. Shortbread cookies. But yeah, in the parks as well, there's the little ice creams, there's the pretzels.
You had a brownie.
What's your favourite Mickey shaped snack, everyone? Yeah. Like, maybe let us know that in the comments. Call to action. Look at me being a YouTube guy now.
And then you can give us, if we have a list, we can make our way through them when we're there.
Yeah. Good shout, actually. Because we're on a dining plan next time, we're going to eat all the snacks.
We need to try.
I need to find what's in, and we're going to probably spend about 5 days in Universal. No. I know.
Oh, yes, those snacks are filled.
So Universal, right, the crack is, but I've said it before, like, I don't hate Universal. Mickey and me have a deal. I'm allowed to go there. I've got to keep an eye on what they're doing. You know, I'm like I'm a mole.
Yeah.
I'm a man on the ground. Yeah, so like,
you're a spy.
What's going on here? I'm like, oh, Mickey, you want to see this Velocicoaster that we got? And he says, oh, say less, buddy. I'm going to make a Maleficent one. Oh, no, he doesn't. He says, oh, boy, well, wait till you've seen my Maleficent coaster, pal. Right, go.
Jordy, what is your favourite Mickey memory?
My favourite Mickey memory?
You have a lot of them. Can you narrow it down?
No. I've got so many. I've literally got so many. Fantasmic, the ones that I've spoke about. Watching Fantasmic for the first time, seeing him fight off nightmares and then getting explained that I can do the same thing. That's iconic to me.
Yeah.
Also, one in more recent years was what I mentioned, arguing with him at Tusker House
about
who loves each other more. But another one genuinely was after we got engaged.
You just stole mine.
Oh, no, see.
Continue.
Yeah, so after we got engaged, we went and told him.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. I loved it. I loved it so much.
I was going to say that was mine, but also, so when we got engaged and we told him, and then his reaction was amazing because he obviously knows us, you know, so he's very excited about it. But then we got to do it all over again when we got married.
Yeah.
And I just think, imagine every time there was like a really big life event, you got to go and tell him and like...
I'm gonna.
Yeah, and he knows then, and he's part of your life. He's always there.
Yeah, that's why I love
him. For like the adult things, not just the kid things.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I love about it so much. That's it's hard. My favourite kind of Mickey is that 90s iconic Mickey. I've got like even so, right, let me just try and
dip into your mind palace.
Yeah, let me just try and dip into my memory here. I want to say it was called Walt Disney Animation Studio, and it was an old PC game. And you used to be able to create like different backgrounds, and you'd be able to put like a dancing Mickey in there and a Minnie, and like so you'd be able to create a diner. And then there was like stock animation versions of like Mickey dressed like he's an old diner, and
then you could put them
all in the scene, and they could and like put some music on, and they'd all be dancing.
Oh my god.
Just little things like that, like, and I loved playing that. Epic Mickey's coming out like next week.
Yeah.
Oh, Epic Mickey's coming out the week that we release this.
Oh my god, I can't wait to just realise.
Get in. Right, yeah. So that
he's constant, he's here again.
And this game looks amazing. Yeah. I played the demo. It is let me tell you, it looks incredible, it plays incredible. You're Mickey Mouse. It looks like Oswald's the bad guy, which is interesting.
Ooh.
It's a remake of an old one. There was Epic Mickey Power of Two as well. It was very popular. There was even more old Mickey Mouse games. There was one on the PS1 that I can't remember. It was like the Adventure, Mickey Mouse Adventure or something. But yeah, how did this happen? Why am I talking about this?
I said, what's your favourite? You were talking about what's your favourite Mickey?
Oh, yeah.
And then, yeah.
And then something happened.
And then something happened in your brain.
My favourite version of Mickey Mouse is this one.
It always comes back to this little guy.
And it is. Like, I'm not even joking. That's this right here.
That little teddy.
That's my favourite version of Mickey Mouse.
Oh.
This is how I used to hold him. Just in the middle.
I can't go.
I used to talk for him as well. That's how I can do the voice now, because I used to talk for him. But I don't think I did like a Mickey, actual Mickey voice then. It was just a weird voice. But yeah, what about you?
Favourite Mickey? I have a cushion. My cushion. I love my cushion. Hi. Every night I sleep with that cushion and we get into bed and I put my head down. I'm like, wait a second.
I was not expecting you to say a pillow. I can't lie.
He uses a teddy.
Yeah, I know, but like, I wasn't.
I got that pillow when we went to Paris, and that's when I actually started to really appreciate Mickey Mouse.
What's your favourite?
He makes my head cozy.
What's your favourite actual version?
Probably classic.
Yeah.
I think, yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Classic go.
Yeah. The red. Red, yellow, black.
Yeah.
Gold, I think, there, shall we say.
Yeah, gold.
Mickey shoe gold, isn't it? Yeah. So that's it. What's your guys' favourite Mickey memory? Let us know in the comments. Send me a DM, Mickey's Best Pal. You know where I'm at. I'm posting every day. Going to continue to try and post every day until we go to Disney World. And then I will continue.
To post every day.
To post every day.
Continue harder.
I ain't stopping. Mickey motivates me. If he can do it, I can do it. We just need to keep pushing together.
Yeah.
All of you as well. This is just a separate little thing. This isn't even podcast related, but like, you Disney influencers out there, just post it. Whatever you're thinking, or if you're thinking about doing it, just do it. Like, that's, I guess, something, again, that Mickey taught me. It's just, and you taught me. You helped me with this, and my love for Mickey has rekindled, I think, since we met. I don't care what anyone thinks.
I know.
I don't care.
It doesn't matter, does it?
Don't care. Like, I don't. As long as you are happy with me,
and
I don't know, like, this thing of, like, aren't you scared people are going to think this? No, because I can't control that anyway. Yeah. Like, there's nothing I can do to control how people perceive me or how they think. So, like...
Yeah, so don't even worry about it.
Yeah, why bother stressing about it? Just, if you do something, if you find something that you love, for me, it's Disney, it's Mickey Mouse, we're doing this podcast, just do it. Just do it.
We wouldn't be doing this podcast if it didn't start with a mouse.
No, but yeah, that's just a little something, because sometimes I need to hear that. So, like, if one person hears that and thinks, you know what, I'm going to post the thing that I was thinking about posting, then great.
I love that.
We've done our job, haven't we?
Yeah.
But yeah, that's all for this episode. That's all for Mickey Mouse. There might be a part two somewhere down the line.
Probably.
The magic within Steamboat Willie. The magic within Sorcerer Mickey. It's a possibility. And I'll always be talking about Mickey Mouse. But next week, you want to tell them what we're talking about?
We are going to be talking about the Disney Channel. I'm excited for this one.
Yeah, we are indeed.
I love Disney Channel.
I love the Disney Channel as well. And I think it's got an almost like cult following out there. Mm-hmm. So I think this is going to be quite a popular one.
Yeah.
But for the time being, I've been Mickey's best pal.
I've been Jay.
And have a nice day.
Have a nice day.
From Geordie and Jay. No, have a magical day.
Yeah.
From Geordie and Jay. Bye, guys. No, wait. I forgot. Please subscribe and leave a comment and download it and do all them things that YouTube is asking you to do.
Mm-hmm. Follow us on Instagram, magicwithin.pod.
We're getting clips out, little short and down clips, because I appreciate these can be quite long and not everyone wants to sit and listen to a full podcast. So yeah. I completely get that. That's where you need to find them clips. Instagram, TikTok, TikTok. Skibbity bop. Cool. Right. Closing out for real this time. Have a magical day from Geordie and Jay.
Bye.
Peace out.